Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin, and we have on our show today, again, Dr. Jeffrey Simmons, a medical doctor and author from Eugene, Oregon. He's written some very interesting books about the scientific problems with evolution and some of the scientific evidence supporting intelligent design. On our last podcast, we had Dr. Simmons talk about his personal journey from being a Darwin supporter to a Darwin dissenter. Today, we'll be talking about evolution and vestigial organs, and also talking about ways that doctors can actually express their scientific dissent from Darwinism. Now, Dr. Simmons, I want to ask you a question about vestigial organs and evolution and your opinion of that. But before we go there, can I just ask you to define for our listeners, what is a vestigial organ?
A vestigial organ is, by definition, a useless leftover from past animals that preceded us in evolution. It's the assumption that this might have been useful beforehand, and it just never got deleted, still with us.
Now, one of my favorite questions to ask medical doctors, Dr. Simmons, is about vestigial organs, because I've talked to people about this in the past, and I've had experience with people who in the medical community have told me that a century ago, there was a list of over 100 vestigial organs, which Darwinists predicted would be functionless. And now today, I'm told that there is essentially hardly anything left on that list. Almost every organ which evolutionists thought were functionless vestigial organs has been found to have function. So do you feel that evolution has made good predictions about vestigial organs? And what is your take on that whole issue?
It's a joke. And it's as if the scientists think at their particular time in life, they know everything that there is to be known. And so in the 1860s, in Darwin's time, there was a German anatomist who made his lifelong job to find vestigial organs. And he had a list of 186, to be exact. And most of them were tiny little things like muscle behind the ear and things that have to do with bones and joints. But he had a lot of big ones in there, too. And so over the last 150 years, that's been whittled way, way down to maybe four or six still on the list. But probably if one looked closely, there may not be any. And I'll give you an example. Just to make it clear, if you were just to look at the navel on a person, you could say, if you didn't know much about the physiology of the body and people didn't know, you could say the navel is vestigial. Who needs that? I mean, it has no function whatsoever. Who needs that? And in actuality, you and I both know, and so the listeners know, it's extremely important. But you could make an argument for that looking like it's vestigial if you go back a few centuries. They thought the spleen was vestigial. It's a huge organ on the left side of the abdomen. We now know it's critical to the immune reaction. They thought tonsils were vestigial. Well, that's important to protecting you from infections in a major opening in the body. There's the thymus gland, which they thought was vestigial. And we now know that it isn't. One of the standouts that the pro-Darwinists like to use is the appendix. Why do we have an appendix? And that must be vestigial. It only gets into trouble. Well, it looks like, from embryology, that the appendix has a lot to do with the immunity of the small bowel. And that, just like the navel, it becomes much less useful as one gets older after they're born. And so it may be a residual part of an embryo. We don't even know. Here again is the chauvinism of present time. 100 years from now, they may well have an extremely good reason for it. It's separate from what I'm saying. Some scientists seem to think that they have all the answers or enough of the answers at their time of life to make major statements. And then 100 years later, people look back and say, what on earth are they talking about? And that has a lot to do with the Earth being the center of the universe and on and on. Heresy at one time is now some kind of scientific law.
Sure. Now, Dr. Simmons, I actually spoke with someone about a year ago who told me that in the middle of the 20th century, his mother had her thyroid irradiated because they thought that it was a vestigial organ. And this was an evolutionary assumption that ended up doing her great damage to her health because they basically destroyed her thyroid as a result of, you know, their view that it was simply a useless structure. And so I'd like to ask you, do you know, or have you ever heard of patients or people receiving, you know, treatments they shouldn't have received because of an assumption that our bodies have just lots of evolutionary leftover junk.
First of all, I think the type of treatment somewhat precedes me, but probably by not a lot. What she probably had treated was her adenoids or her lymph nodes or some of the tonsillar stuff that they used to treat with radiation, thinking that it was vestigial. And that's not happened in my generation. But her thyroid had to have been hit because it's right in the way. And so she probably got her thyroid irradiated. Now, I'm guessing on that. I'm guessing on that. But the thyroid, I don't think, was ever thought to be vestigial. But the tonsils were. And I would guess that the tonsils have been removed during my generation a number of times, not by me, not a surgeon. So that the answer to that is probably yes, I think, about that. I haven't given this as much thought until just this moment, but they probably remove an appendix if they're in for doing something else occasionally, but not so much thinking it's vestigial, but it's useless, and it could get inflamed. It might result in another operation. So it blurs the line a little bit, but the thinking isn't vestigial. Years ago, maybe when I was in my early training, people had the spleens removed for a variety of reasons, thinking it was relatively useless, and we now know that it's very important. So if I sat down and thought about it longer, I could probably give you a better answer. I think that that type of attitude, is, even though it was evident then, is probably much less evident now. I think what we suffer from is something I mentioned in another question, is this contemporary or temporal chauvinism and making some decisions that we regret later on. It happens in medicine all the time. It's not just vestigial stuff. It has to do with medicines and procedures. And sometimes we're giving it our best shot, and sometimes we're basing it on some ideology, but it's usually our best shot.
Sure. Okay, well, Dr. Simmons, I want to ask you one final question here. You've come now to the point where you are actually encouraging doctors to step out and state their scientific dissent from Darwinism, and you're actually, I understand, on the board of directors of an organization that is allowing doctors to make a public statement that they question neo-Darwinism. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a newly formed organization called PSSI, Physicians and Surgeons for Scientific Integrity, and they're trying to be objective, being non-religious, meaning secular as best as possible, and showing where the flaws are and trying to attract physicians who feel the same to not only support the group, but participate and to start the debate, to teach the controversy. There's a lot of doctors. I talk to doctors about evolution, and sometimes it gets heated and sometimes it gets very, very interesting. And there's a number of doctors out there that believe that Darwin is wrong. And so they're starting to collect under this umbrella and come out and talk about, hey, you know, we're being fed something that isn't true. What we're being fed is we got a Bunsen burner on one end of town, and we have a pot boiling on the other end of town, and we're being told by the Darwinists that that's cause and effect. And there's a lot of holes or gaps or a huge gap in between. And so physicians are educated people, and a lot of them recognize that there's a problem. It's going to be very interesting how this shakes out in the next 10 years.
So, Dr. Simmons, can you give us the website for that organization, Physicians and Surgeons for Scientific Integrity, if our listeners would like to go check that out?
DoctorsDoubtingDarwin.com. And they'll find on the list a lot of international doctors as well.
Great. And spread the word about it also. This is a fairly new thing, and doctors are being added to this on a very relatively rapid basis right now. So thank you very much for being on the show, Dr. Jeffrey Simmons, who I'd also like to note has a new book out entitled Billions of Missing Links, A Rational Look at the Mysteries Evolution Cannot Explain. It's available for right now on pre-order at Amazon.com. It'll be out on February 15th, 2007. And I really appreciate you having doing another interview for us on this show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Okay, well, this is Casey Luskin with the ID of the Future podcast, broadcasting from the Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Finn. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.